Good morning. It is Friday, July the 26th, in the year of our Lord, 2024. I'm John David Walt, and this is your wake-up call. And it's going to be a good Friday. So let's get started right with consecration. Let's find ourselves at the feet of Jesus, saints the world over. Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's entry is entitled, On Underdogs, Overlords, the Great Reversal, and the Final Scoreboard. Our text is Acts chapter 24, verses 22 through 27. Hear now the word of the Lord. Then Felix, who was well acquainted with the way, adjourned the proceedings. When Lysias, the commander, comes, he said, I will decide your case. He ordered the centurion to keep Paul under guard, but to give him some freedom and permit his friends to take care of his needs. Several days later, Felix came with his wife, Drusilla, who was Jewish. He sent for Paul and listened to him as he spoke about faith in Christ Jesus. As Paul talked about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and said, That's enough for now. You may leave. When I find it convenient, I will send for you. At the same time, he was hoping that Paul would offer him a bribe, so he sent for him frequently and talked with him. When 2 years had passed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus. But because Felix wanted to grant a favor to the Jews, he left Paul in prison. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. So here we have the consensus MVP of the first century church. The all-star apostle to the Gentiles, an all but certain Hall of Famer, and he sat in jail for 2 years. Anchored in the Word of God and filled with the Holy Spirit, he sat in a dank prison cell, bound in chains. It would be akin to benching LeBron James or Caitlin Clark, or pick your own superstar athlete. For the next 2 years, no playing time. Now consider his captor. By all standards of the day, Felix was an important person. He held high office and considerable power. Sure, he was likely despised like any other corrupt Roman middle management politician, aka governor. They bowed to Felix as though he had godlike power. They beat Paul as though he were a common criminal. Felix held the command of an entire province. Paul held only the chains that held him. Felix knew all about Jesus and the fledgling church spreading like wildfire across the land. He could not dismiss it, though it seemed like nothing compared to the imperial power structure of Rome. He could not dismiss Paul. And kept sending for him to hear him talk about Jesus and the way. And then he had the audacity to make him sit in that prison for 2 years as a favor to the Jews. What a scuzz. Paul was not afraid of Felix. Interestingly, though, Felix was afraid of Paul. The powerless one held all the power, i.e., see the cross. This is how the Holy Spirit works, not by overcoming power with brute force, but by subverting power with gentle humility. It's astonishing, really. In the first century and every century since, it can seem like all the energy, action, importance, and power resides with the politicians of the day. It takes faith to realize the falsity of it all. I once placed my hope in that process and system. Now, it's a complete and utter absurdity to me. Today, millions of people will invest millions, even billions of dollars into campaigns who will flush the money down the toilet of eighth-grade gossip wars carried out via tit-for-tat combative television commercials. In the midst of it all, scattered across the countryside, are the little people of the way, who, to the naked eye, sit on the sidelines, relegated to an apparent dead-end prison cell of one sort or another, sometimes for 2 years or more. In the eyes of the Holy Spirit, they will be the subjects of history's storytellers. These other guys, in all likelihood, will go the way of their commercials. Take heart. It will all come to a great reversal eventually. It always does. Make sure you are on the right side of that reversal today. Look at the scoreboard 2,000 years later. Who won? Paul or Felix? Jesus or Pilate? No further questions. And to be sure, there are many public servants, men and women alike, who are doing their dead level best to do their work in a God-honoring way. Let's encourage them. May their tribe increase. The prayer of transformation. Lord Jesus, I am your witness. I long to be like you. And I know there's only one way that I can become like you, and it is as you hide yourself in me, and I hide myself in you, that the great glory of God might be revealed through my life. To that end, I receive your righteousness and release my sinfulness. I receive your wholeness and release my brokenness. I receive your fullness and release my emptiness. I receive your peace and release my anxiety. I receive your joy and release my despair. I receive your healing and release my sickness. I receive your love and release my selfishness. Come, Holy Spirit, transform my heart, mind, soul, and strength so that my consecration becomes your demonstration, that our lives become your sanctuary in the world for the glory of God our Father. Amen. The journal prompts, how is it that we are so enamored with worldly power and power players, even in the church? Ask Jesus to show you who the real history makers are in your midst. You might be surprised. And for our hymn today, we're going to sing one of my favorites. It's like the earlier version of We Will Rock You. or We Are the Champions from Queen. It's number 252, Up From the Grave He Arose. It's going to be a powerful Friday hymn. I'm already feeling it. Three verses, they're short. The chorus makes up for their shortness. Let's give it all we got. This is the song of the underdog and the overlords and the great reversal and the final scoreboard. Low in the grave he lay, Jesus my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose. Hallelujah, Christ arose. Vainly they watch his bed, Jesus my Savior. Vainly they seal the dead, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose. Hallelujah, Christ arose. Okay, let's give it all we got here. If you're feeling like you're an underdog today, if you're struggling in some darkness, if a sickness has gotten the best of you, if you're facing death's door, okay? If you're really down and out, let's just rise up and sing in the face of it. Death cannot keep his prey, Jesus my Savior. He tore the bars away, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, come on, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Amen. I decided just to go for it. Fourth and long. Everybody go in the end zone. Get open. We're going to air the ball out. Hail Mary. We win. We will rock you. We are the champions. Jesus is the victor. Wow. Now I think we should sing Victory in Jesus. We'll save that one for next week, maybe. Man, thank God for Robert Lowry, who wrote that hymn in 1874, and the tune. Thank God for that. We have already won, no matter what we're going through, no matter what we're facing, no matter how long the odds, no matter how much the enemy seems to be winning, they're going to lose. Right? The underdog is going to win, is going to take down the overlord. The great reversal is going to happen, and the final scoreboard is going to tell the story. Well, I think that's where we ought to just leave it today on this Friday. I think enough's been said. And I want to send you out with that tune still fresh in your mind. That's a song for the road. I want you to sing that as you go along today. I want you to be humming that as you go along today. Just sow this kind of faith, this kind of hope, this kind of love. Those are the things that last forever. Remember? Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of them is love. Jesus has got this, and Jesus has got you. So you know what that means? You got this. I'll see you on the field. For The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.